As we begin this morning, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. I pray that as we take some time to look into your word, that your word will speak to us. Maybe something will be said differently than what it's been, than how it's been said in the past. And the spark of understanding might ignite in someone's life today. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for everything that you do in and through us. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This week as I was preparing, I had two different messages I was working on. Because I brought the message for the community worship service over in the Potato Festival there in Edmore. The question plagued my mind, and it was a discussion I had started, I think, a week ago or 2 weeks ago with folks during the meal time. That is the Blanchard Church of God, why are we here? Why are we here? Are we here because, well, I can remember as a young man, teenager, it's because my parents told me I had to be here. But as adults, we have a different reason. Some of us show up, well, I feel guilty today. I haven't prayed or I haven't talked to God in any time here in the recent past, and I've done a few things I'm ashamed of, so I better go to church and make myself feel better so I can keep on going. Some folks are here because they say, oh, well, this is a great business way to make a business connection. Others are here because they really want to hear what the Bible has to say, and they really want the opportunity to grow in their faith and to become the person that God would have us to be. I believe as the Church of God, as the Blanchard Church of God, we exist to make disciples who practice, first, loving God. The next thing I believe that we exist for is to connect with people. The next thing is serving God through the church. And then the fourth thing the Blanchard Church of God is here for is for reaching the world. In the Great Commission, and we read that in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus basically told us to do one thing. He said, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. And that is probably one of the hardest commands that we have to follow as believers in today's society? Or is it something that we simply forget? We get so involved and wrapped up in our lives during the day that we forget, oh, hold it. I don't exist to do this job. And it took a long time for me to begin to understand. I don't exist to fix and drive trucks. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm a truck driver. Anybody that knew me knew that I was a truck driver and that I fixed all of my own trucks. And they knew that if they caught me in just the right day and just the right place and just the right time, I would talk to them about my trucks, about my trucking company and how I could benefit them and their business and on and on and on and on and on. I forgot the most important thing, because I was so busy, and that is that we are called to make disciples. The things that we do, whether it's work or pleasure or play or even putting meat in the freezer, the things that we do, we should have the idea and the object in the back of our minds that we're doing this to help make disciples.
You say, well, Mark, how can I make disciples? Well, when you pull into the gas station, you have that deer laying over the back of the tailgate, and you raise its head and you're showing it off to anybody that's at the gas pump. What's the conversation? Oh, well, I was sitting in my tree stand and I saw this deer coming up, and I've been scouting him for several months. I knew this was the way that he went all the time. And I did this and I did that, and this morning he came up and he was right below my tree stand. And I was able to get a nice clean shot. Or, this is the suggestion, this is the deer that God provided for me, for my family. He allowed me the ability to scout for it. He allowed me the ability to know when and where this deer eats and walks and drinks and sleeps. And because of all of these things God's allowed me to be able to do, I was able to take this deer, and I'll be able to feed my family at least part of this winter because of what God provided for us. Because guess what? You can do all the scouting and all the planning and all the preparation. If it isn't God that brings that deer around, you're going to sit in a cold tree stand for a real long time. I know. I've done it for 2 years now. Well, actually, that's over the top of a truck for me. But everything that we do, even something as small, or we would think as small and unimportant as hunting is, in the scheme of life, in the scheme of things, we can use it as an opportunity to make disciples. If we give honor and glory to God for the deers that we hunt, the fish that we catch, the jobs that we hold, the money that we make, the possessions that we own, hopefully they don't own us. If we give honor and glory for the things that are a part of our lives to the God that gave them to us, to the God that provided them for us, how often will we actually have an opportunity to make a disciple? I'm getting a little off track here. So I'm going to back up here to behind the pulpit. We define a disciple as a follower of Jesus Christ who is continually being transformed by His image. This is what a disciple is. It's not somebody that says, okay, I came forward in a church service, or I was at home and I called the pastor and we talked for a little bit and I prayed a prayer and now I'm a Christian. That's not what the Bible describes as a disciple. Not only that, the Bible doesn't describe that as simply as being a follower of Christ, being a believer, being a Christian. Being a Christian is a daily, active thing that we participate in as believers, not because of anything we are, but because of everything that God is and the gift that He provides for us. So often we view life as a play and we're the star. As believers, we need to get over the idea that we're the center of the universe, that we are the star of this play, or the star of this show, or the star of this movie, and realize that we are only the people that are pointing everybody to the star of the show. And the star is our Heavenly Father. And that's what being a disciple is about. Pointing other people to the Father. Imitating Jesus. What was Jesus' message? He was always pointing people to God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Everything that He did was pointing people to God. Preparing people, encouraging people to take them, to repent, to be baptized for the remission of their sins so that they could have eternal life. And the kingdom of God that will be established on this earth someday when Christ returns. So as I was pondering this idea of what is a disciple, I began looking through several online dictionaries and commentaries. Some that I have in my office, some we actually have in the church library. And in the New Unger's Bible Dictionary, a disciple is described as this. And the New Testament is rendered, or it is a rendering of the Greek word
and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this exactly right, but techno, which means learner. And it occurs frequently throughout the New Testament and applies to anyone who professes to having learned certain principles from another. It's actually applied to the followers of Christ, John the Baptist and the Pharisees, but mostly the focus is on those who followed Christ. In the Parsons Bible Dictionary, it says a scholar sometimes applied to the followers of John the Baptist. And that word scholar is talking about disciple, such as in Matthew 9:14, and of the Pharisees, for example, in Matthew 22:16. But principally to the followers of Christ, a disciple of Christ is one who believes his doctrine, rests on his sacrifice, imbibes his spirit, and imitates his example. So my question is, based on these dictionary definitions of what a disciple is, how many, and I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many say they believe in everything that the Word of God talks about? We were referring to that during the adult Sunday school class today. Do we really believe everything that we read in this Bible? It's amazing, the more I get into this academia stuff, and listening and talking and studying in all these books, there's how many people, actually biblical scholars, theologians, actually don't believe what's in the book. Well, folks, I'm here to say, from cover to cover, this book tells us everything that God wants us to know. He didn't cheat us out of knowing anything that's important for us as human beings, to first become believers, and then to secure that eternal salvation, that opportunity for immortality and eternal life in our lives. It's all right here. In every promise, every prophecy that's in this book will come to pass someday if it hasn't already. The amazing thing that the vast majority of this book has already come to pass. The timeline that God lays out in this book has already passed. And we're now in the closing stages of those prophecies. But what does Jesus, and that's the next question, what does Jesus say about being a disciple? Jesus is actually quoted 7 times in the New Testament using the word disciple. In Matthew chapter 10, for example, verses 24, 42, and 52, and I just kind of condensed things down for time's sake. Jesus is quoted as saying, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he becomes like his teacher, and the slave like his master. Jesus is telling us with his own mouth, my desire for you is to become just like me. I want you to be a disciple and to imitate me in your life. I want you to become like me. And what was that? He was pointing people to God. He was pointing people to the Father. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42, it says, and whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 52, he says, therefore every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven, which is another way of saying kingdom of God, is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Jesus talks about being a disciple in the book of Luke in chapter 4, in verses 26 and 27. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, Jesus isn't telling us Jesus isn't telling us we got to hate our wives or our parents or our kids or our sisters and brothers.
But our love for the Father in comparison to the love that we have for the people around us, there shouldn't be any comparison. Our love for the Father should be so overwhelming that the first thing that we think about when we wake up is, how can I bring honor and glory to the Heavenly Father? The last thing that we think about when we lay down is, have I been the disciple, the example of Jesus Christ, so people could have the opportunity to see the Father and have an opportunity to become the disciple of Jesus Christ that they need to become so that they can have that gift of eternal life and immortality. That's what Christ is saying here. And then in verse 27 he says, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He's letting us know being a disciple of Christ isn't something that's easy. It's not a prayer and showing up to church. Being a disciple of Christ is a day-by-day, moment-by-moment lifestyle. Pointing people to Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father by our actions. Our actions need to match our passion. In Luke 14, verse 33, Christ says, so then none of you can be my disciples who does not give up all of his possessions. Literally, what God is looking for is someone who is willing to stand up and say, you know, I really would like to have that $500,000 house on a hill with all the toys in my closets and in my garage and in my yard and down at Traverse City and out in Myrtle Beach and maybe down in Cancun. Who realize that these things that we call important, in light of eternity, in the light of what God provided through His Son Jesus Christ, these things should become so unimportant to us it isn't funny. Serving God, being that disciple, that example of Jesus Christ, is what should be important to us. So, how did Jesus make disciples? If we're saying, okay, we got to go out and make disciples like Jesus did, how did Jesus make disciples? If we define the disciple as a follower of Jesus Christ, who is continually being transformed by His image, what does it take? In rabbinical Judaism, the term disciple referred to one who was committed to the interpretation of Scripture and religious tradition given to him by the Master Rabbi. Who's our Master Rabbi? Jesus Christ is our Master Rabbi. Through a process of learning which would include a set of meeting times and such methods as questions and answers and instruction and repetition and memorization. For those who have watched the movies with the Jewish kids sitting on the floor around their rabbi repeating Old Testament scripture and the Hebrew, that's very much a part of what the picture is of being a disciple. As a rabbi, these are methods Jesus used to teach His disciples. In John 18:20, He says, I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together and spoke nothing in secret. His believers in Jesus Christ, His disciples of Jesus Christ, literally everything Jesus did, everything Jesus said, Dan referred to a passage of Scripture, actually it was in John, where it says, all the things that I've written are almost nothing compared to what Christ did, because if I tried to write, or if somebody tried to write everything that Jesus did, there's not enough books in this world to contain all the marvelous, mighty works that Jesus did while he was on this earth. Which would mean, literally, for those 3.5 years that those disciples followed Jesus Christ around, there wasn't a single moment that his language, his talk, his ideas, his actions weren't pointing people to the kingdom of God and pointing people to his heavenly Father. I know. Whenever I say something like this, somebody's thinking in their mind, yeah, but you don't know. There's this one woman that comes up, and I haven't seen her in like millions of years, and she'll come up and she'll start talking about all the marvelous miracles that God's done in her life, and it's just so aggravating. That's not being a disciple of Christ. Being a disciple of Christ is pointing them to what Jesus Christ did. Christ was continually talking about what? About the kingdom of God. What was he doing? He was pointing people to the Father. What should be our talk? It should be about pointing people to the Father. Our lives aren't the important thing. Pointing people to the Father is. That's how Christ made disciples. Pointing people to the coming kingdom of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." As disciples, this is how we point people to become the type of disciples that they can become, the imitators, the models of Jesus Christ. They can become Jesus Christ to the world as well. What are we doing? We're encouraging them. We're teaching them. We're pointing them to the Word of God. This is how we learn to be the disciple. This is how we learn to be the Christian that God expects us to be, desires for us to be, and actually commands us to be. And as we point people to the Word, as we share the Word, as we're busy with these things, people that we are talking to will eventually become the disciples of Christ. Not in every sense, but in the sense that many of them will hear, believe, and understand. We do this by giving prayer and thanksgiving. This is how we become the disciples that we should be. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Rejoice always. When was the last time we can think of a Monday morning when we got up and the first thing we thought was, "Thank God it's Monday." Amen. Amen. There you go. Amen. Most of the time we think to ourselves, "Oh, let me roll over. Maybe Tuesday I'll get here sooner." But Paul tells us, rejoice always, pray, pray, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean we walk up to a street corner and look up and say, "Okay, God, you want me to go left or right?" That's a little bit on the disrespectful side. Praying without ceasing is the idea in mind that our thoughts and our minds and our hearts and our intentions are, "How can I make a difference today, God? How can I be Jesus to someone that I come into contact with? How can I be the one that points somebody to the Father?" Help me to be cognizant when people bring hurts to me so that I might be able to have a chance to point them to Christ. If someone says they've had something great, I can use it to point them to Christ. How do we become disciples? By willing to mentor people. In the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Lord, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus Christ has promised us, that He'll be with us even to the end. This age. And if Jesus, as God's Son, is promising this to us,
how much more, how much greater is that promise that the Father is going to be with us? As we live our lives as a disciple of Christ. It says, go and make disciples. Now, our portion of the world, our portion of all the nations, is this tiny area in mid-Michigan. And the more that I drive around Michigan, I find out how tiny Blanchard and Remus and Edmore and Mecosta and Barrington and Mount Pleasant and Wynn and Sheridan, and I realize how small this area really is. But this is the area God's called us to. So what are we to do? We're to go and make disciples of all of the people in our area. Point people to the Father. We do that by teaching them to observe what we've read, what we've learned in the Word of God. This morning my challenge is to you to look at how being a believer in Jesus Christ has made a difference. Or has it made a difference? My challenge is to you, how are you different? Look at yourself. Not just here for the next 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, it's a long way before 12:30, right? But when you get up in the morning, how can I make a difference? As you're praying over breakfast, if you eat breakfast, how can I make a difference today, God? As you're pulling into that driveway at work or at school or the grocery store or wherever it is you have to go to, how can I make a difference today, Lord? When we're having our prayer over our lunch, how can I make a difference, Lord? As the day winds out, how can I make a difference, Lord? This is part of praying without ceasing. How can I make a difference? At the end of the week, if we look back on what's taken place, have we made a difference? Or is the only difference in how thick our wallet is, or how full our house is, or the cars that we drive, or the things that we do? Have we made a difference in someone's life? Or have we been too busy? Making a difference in people's lives is the biggest part of being a disciple of Christ. What were the disciples busy doing after Christ ascended to heaven? They were pointing people to God. They were pointing people to the Father. That's our call today. Be a disciple by pointing people to God. How do we do that? By imitating Jesus. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us, work in our hearts and our lives. Speak to us, Lord, about our lives as being as far as being a disciple of Christ, a disciple of your Son. I pray, dear Lord, that as we look at, consider, and prayerfully ask for you to help us to become the disciples that we ought to be. May it not be something that we do on Sunday, maybe remember by supper on Sunday evening, and if completely forgotten by Monday. But rather, I pray, Lord, that it is something that is work that you're working in our hearts and in our lives, that we might become the believers that you'd have us to be, that we would become the disciples that you would have us to be. And that we're making the disciples that you would have us to make. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.